Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for all that you've done here so far this morning. I thank you, Father God, for your little mini sermon you just gave the people. We thank you, Father, that you are working on our faith today, and we didn't even know it till just now. If you just come up hither, if you just dine with me just one time, you'll never want to go back to the bigger elements of this world. You will never want to leave my presence ever again. I tell you, children, I have great signs and wonders just for you that I want to give to just you. And then, when you realize how wonderful I am through what I'm giving you, you will carry it to the nations. And all will see and know, and it will be spread abroad of the goodness of the Lord. I'm just asking you, each one of you in here, you're special in my eyes. I'm asking each one of you to come up hither right now and dine with me. I'm waiting. The angels are waiting. The angelic choir is singing. All heaven is rejoicing. And we want to include you into our great big party of miracles. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. Father God, you said that what you was going to do was you was going to bring your glory into the house, and everybody was going to be free from every demonic oppression. We're believing for that. I'm believing that for this morning, Father God, that that is happening to everybody in this room. Every demonic oppression has to bow their knee right now because your glory has filled the temple. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Somebody in here, you know that God's done a great work, so you need to shout the victory right now. I was about ready to say the victory's in the shout. You did all that, about jumped out of my chair. Amen. I don't know who did that, but thank you for starting the ball to going. Amen. Come on. You want to see you're going to feel lighter? You're not going to feel that heaviness anymore? And you won't have to conjure up the joy of the Lord. It'll be there. You know, it'll just be there all the time. Because God freed you up from that oppression right now. Somebody, you've had a terrible, terrible soul tie. God's breaking that soul tie off you right now. It's kept you bound. It's kept you in sin. And God's taking that soul tie right now, and he's just shredding it. Just receive that freedom right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody in here, you have a spirit of lethargy, and God's ripping that thing out of you right now. You've gone through deliverance after deliverance, and that lethargy spirit hid. Well, God has routed it out right now, and he's removing it from you right now. Thank you. Somebody in here, you have a defeated spirit in you. You're defeated before you ever start. God's removing that from you right now. You'll no longer feel like you're defeated and can't make it, because God's taking it out of you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Somebody in here, you've been going through a test of endurance. And God said, that test is over. You have shown yourself mighty in God. Thank you, There's somebody in here, you have family ties that are really deep-rooted, but the enemy's trying to uproot those family ties and separate and divide. And God said he's destroyed that stronghold. It's been in your life for years now. He's destroyed that stronghold right now. And you'll no longer be separated from your family, but God's going to reunite you in a new way. There's somebody in here, you have a really, really, really strong religious spirit. You don't see any harm in that because you don't understand what the religious spirit is doing to you. And right now, God said he's taking control of that. He's yanking that out of you. And you'll be able to walk in liberty and walk in newness of life and walk in the spirit. This is your hour of freedom. And he said, you've been blaming the people around about you, and it's really that religious spirit in you that is controlling you and trying to separate you from those who love you and want to help you. Oh, Father, I thank you for the moving of your spirit. Now, God, just drop your glory super strong right now. Encase your people in your glory, Father, where the enemy cannot steal what you just did. And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy, mighty name. One thing I hear God say, somebody in here, you know the truth, but you don't walk in the truth. You're still walking in the worldly way. And he wants to free you up from that this morning. But you're going to have to give him permission to free you up from walking in the ways of the world. But you know the truth. Brett, can we go ahead and start this teaching? Because this teaching is going to go right along with what God just did, all right? All right, let's go into teaching this morning. If you're still in the spirit, stay there. God says the hour has come and now is for the ultimate comeback of my church. The people have been vacillating between light and dark for far too long now. And today I say unto you, you are the remnant church I am going to work through. That's you guys. This is your word from God for this morning. God said, I'm expecting great exploits from each of you. No longer can you say, I don't know what to do, for I have been training you on the backside of the desert for a decade now. A decade's 10 years. I've trained your hands to war in any given situation. There is nothing the enemy can throw at you that you have not been trained in. And Psalms 144:1 says, "Praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle." God said, "Why do you think you went through the furnace of affliction over and over again? Why do you think there were so many tests and trials? It was hardcore boot camp. You were in training, my beloved ones. At times, the tests and trials came back to back. Other times, I allowed you to rest for a couple of hours. It wasn't days or weeks. See that? I was teaching you endurance, stability, and steadfastness. You were in training so you could defeat the enemy on all fronts, and you would not be caught off guard by anything the enemy decided to throw at you." God says, "During this time on the backside of the desert, you are being strengthened to endure the onslaught of the enemy that lies before you. You have been at war with the flesh," God said, and let's read Galatians 5:16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. In other words, what you want to do, what you know you ought to do, you don't do, because your flesh is at war. All right? God said, "Do you not understand that not all those who sit in my house understand the concept of fighting the flesh? They think all is well, but in reality, they are not heading for heaven, but they are going in the opposite direction. It is you, Remnant Church, that will bring them forth in total obedience to my word." Let's read that again, Brent. "Do you not understand that not all those who sit in my house understand the concept of fighting the flesh?" We know that's true, don't we? "They think all is well when in reality they are not heading for heaven, but they are going in the opposite direction. It is you, Remnant Church, that will bring them forth in total obedience to my word." It is you, Remnant Church. You all are a remnant. When we first started this church, God said, "You are a remnant church." And through the years, I have found out God started many churches like ours, and they're remnant churches, and the remnant churches are the ones God's bringing to the forefront now to do the great mighty works for his kingdom. And you know, some of you might have been in one church and God brought you here. It was because he wanted to train you up as a remnant church so that he could use you in great signs, wonders, and miracles. All right? God said, "It is you that will show them the love of Jesus." And how many times has God taught us in the love of Jesus? We should have that down pat. God said, "It is you that will teach them about principalities. You will teach men," Ephesians 6:10-13. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." God told me not too long ago that we weren't using every weapon that he gave us in his word to fight, and that's why we weren't winning the battles. And how many of you, think about it, and let's just say in the last 6 months, you've had to say to people, well, remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. You, when somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing, and we have to minister to them. I've had to say this quite a bit here lately. We have to remember that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers of darkness. See, and God just said here we were going to teach them that. And we're already there. If you don't know it, we're already there, and you're going to find yourself telling people that scripture. All right, God said, this training has made you a strong tower that others can run into. It has made you untouchable. When God said that, I said, you hear that, devil? Trying to get my faith up there, you know. Because he doesn't understand that concept yet, does he? Not in my life, anyhow. But so I had to tell him, you hear what God's saying. That's what you have to do. What did God say? This training has made you a strong tower that others can run into. It has made you untouchable. And Isaiah 54:17 tells you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you all just to put that in your spirit. And every time the devil comes at you, speak that word to him. That's God's word. I mean, he can harass you. He can't kill you, all right? He can harass you and put you through the hoops, but he can't kill you. And this is what God's saying. Okay, so he gives you the COVID. It can't kill you. What does it say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, right? I give you a hangnail, but it can't kill you. Because nothing he does, nothing he throws your way is ever going to prosper. Might make you sick a little bit, but you're going to make it. God said, I have spoken this over you, and it's Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So if you just remember, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you're mine. Has God ever said to you, called you by name and said, see, I know your name. You know, one time I was being in a twit with him, and he said, Barbara. Then he chastised me. He said, see, I know your name. He always called me all these little loving names, you know, but that day he was upset with me. So God does know your name. And believe me, if you keep up messing with him, he'll call you by name. And at that point, you'll know you stepped over the line. And he's upset with you. God went on to say, you have burned your bridges of the past. Now listen to this. You have burned your bridges of the past, built new bridges, and crossed over. And now you are bringing others across the bridge that you built. And this is what God's been telling us to do. Build a bridge, get over the bridge, and then bring others across that bridge who were messed up like you were or messed up in some way. God said, you have learned to sit in heavenly places and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Have you? Think about that. You have determined in your heart whom you are serving. Remember God said the other night, he taught us that, right? To be or not to be. Remember that? You have determined in your heart whom you are serving, and you are going forth as more than a conqueror in every area of your life. Every area of your life. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. You know, if you get rid of that sin and then you become a son, you remain in the presence of God forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Not Grace, you know, not Aaron, but if God sets you free, then you're free. You know, Grace could go to you and say, you're free. But is that grace or is that the Spirit speaking through her? You see what I'm saying? So if we walk in the Spirit, whatever we speak is Spirit. This is why God told us years ago, get rid of the religious spirits, because now it's Spirit calling unto Spirit. Religious spirits bring death. God's spirit brings life and life more abundantly, right? God said, you have said over and over again, here I am, Lord, send me. I sent you. I watched you struggle over and over again, but in the struggle was a determination, never quit. And never give in to the wiles of the evil one. That was your determination. Devil, I don't care what you do, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give in to your wiles. I'm an overcomer. I have resurrection power in me. I have new life in me. And therefore, I no longer allow you to use me as your vessel of sin. Then God said, there were times I had to sit and watch you go under and struggle your way back to the top once again. You hear what he said? There were times I had to sit just like you had to watch Jesus go through his Gethsemane. I had to sit and watch you go under and struggle your way back to the top once again. See, he said you struggled to get back up there. He didn't reach down and pull you up. You were determined, I'm getting up and I'm going to go forward. Then he says, those were exciting days. Ho, ho. Those were the days where your loved ones who went before were cheering you on, you in heaven. Those were the times I was in the valley with you, leading you on as I held onto your hands. See, so all those times you thought were rotten days, he said they were exciting days. See, he says we don't think like he thinks, right? God went on to say, those were the times where the body of believers gathered together and covered you with the blood. I wish that was true all the time. My angelic hosts were busy keeping you safe. How many of you know that your angels have been keeping you safe? That you've done some pretty dumb things at times, and you shouldn't even be sitting here today. No, God says, no one or anything can stop you now. Do you have that in your spirit? No one or anything can stop you now. You have to be determined that that is the truth. I can send and read this to you, and it means absolutely nothing. But if you determine your heart that nothing's going to stop you, you're going to go forward. Your sheer determination has brought you to a place of total abandonment of self, and your mind has stayed on the high calling before you. You're holding on to your crown, and you are determined no man shall steal your crown. And Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming soon, Jesus says, hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. I was preaching one time years ago, and I was right there where Adriana is sitting. I was standing there preaching, and God said, daughter, don't let no man steal your crown. And that totally blew my mind, and I've always, and his voice was so sweet, but you know, I guess I was getting ready to fall, or you know, something was going to happen. But God said, let no man steal your crown. And from that moment forth, I was determined no one was going to take my crown. No one was going to make me go to hell. I determined I just wasn't going to allow that to happen. See, you have to determine what's going to happen to your life. I don't care what the enemy says to you. You have to be the determining factor. I can tell you everything that you know that God tells me to encourage you and lift you up, but if you aren't determined to quit allowing the enemy to take you down, he's going to take you down. All right, God said, you have entered into the gross darkness that has been covering the earth. The enemy is not finished yet. He has so much more up his sleeve, but the training I have brought you through will help you endure anything he can throw at you. You hear that, guys? You can endure anything that he throws at you. Come on. We can do this. We really can. You're not a bunch of babies drinking milk. By George, you've been to the furnace of affliction and you're eating steak, right? Come on. You know, I said to Teresa Ann this morning, I know that I'm dying in a natural. I said, but God said, I'm healed. Now, see, I can either believe that God healed me or I could get into what the devil's trying to tell me. Are you listening here? And what did he say? You have entered into the gross darkness that has been covering the earth. The enemy is not finished yet. He also has so much more up his sleeve, but the training I have brought you through will help you endure. And that's what I was doing this morning, enduring while I was trying to get ready for church. And Teresa Ann came in there to wash my back. But, you know, and that's when I said to her what I said. I said, but he's not going to have me. You know, we can't lay down and play dead because God has given us too many promises. The one thing you must, God said, the one thing you must set your mind on at this given time is to bring the harvest in. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There are souls out there that need you to be strong and to be determined that you're going to be one that brings in the harvest. Matthew 9:37, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. I've read that scripture to God, and I've asked him to do that. Now, see, I had to be determined that I'm going to remain a worker, that I'm not giving in to the wiles of the devil. I have a job to do, and that job is to lead all of us into God's glory and bring that harvest in. I have to lead you into a great determination, and it doesn't matter what the enemy throws your way. He can't kill you. He really can't. God's mercy endures forever, right? And God is good. All right, Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We are supposed to do the very same thing. We're supposed to have compassion on that lost world out there. And we had to be determined like Jesus was. He was going to fulfill his calling and keep preaching the gospel, keep encouraging people, keep doing signs, wonders, and miracles until his work was finished. God said, children, this is where we are. Hear that. Children, this is where we are. I have compassion for the lost and the prodigals because they are confused and helpless. They are sheep without a shepherd. Didn't that make you want to go out there and start a street ministry? You stand on the street corner wherever the drug addicts and the homeless are and just start proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we should have, a hunger and a desire to do that. God said, the shepherds have been leading my sheep astray, but I am sending new shepherds that will lead the sheep back into the sheepfold. Then he said, these shepherds are you. Everybody in this room, you're a shepherd. And God said that you were going to be ministers of the gospel. God said, these shepherds are you. You are fully qualified. I don't want to hear no more excuses. You're fully qualified. Quit allowing the enemy to tell you anything different. God said, the church is arising and they are taking back the ground they gave to the enemy. This time the church will not be deceived. Isn't that neat? It will not back down. They will be determined to go all the way. Then God said, the cry is souls at any cost. That's spelled wrong, but souls at any cost. Have you ever thought about where God has you living? There's souls in that area that you're supposed to be touching. And let's just say you were living someplace and God told you to move. He did that because where you was at, you weren't going to be any good for him. Because the people around you weren't going to listen. So he had to move you someplace else where they would listen, or where he was going to give those new people a chance to hear all about Jesus. So let's not fuss when God uproots us. Let's just let God do what he wants, and don't get upset when he makes you stay where you don't want to stay. Had to put that in there. Let's just let God be God in our lives, and let's just go ahead and go forth and teach your people what we know. How many of you can honestly say to yourself that the enemy's really tried to discourage you? Just say in the last 2 days even. He's brought things into your life that you've been fighting about, or you didn't think was there anymore, and up they pop. Well, don't let it discourage you. Get excited, because that's the enemy doing that. And he's trying to discourage you because he knows you're going to tear his kingdom down. So instead of you getting discouraged, you should be jumping up and down with joy and say, "You're under my feet, devil," as you're jumping up and down. Crucify him and just keep on going. Because he just revealed who you really are in Christ Jesus when he brings that junk from the past to you. You're a strong tower that others can run into. You have wisdom beyond your years. When I listen to some of you young people talk, I think, wow, such wisdom. Such wisdom. And so you young people have been living in the young people's society, right? And so you know how other people are thinking, which is wrong. They think the wrong way. And so God has given you all this wisdom so you can tell them how they really should be living. You know, let them see good fruit and not bad fruit. You know, what's that scripture in the Bible says, you travel the world over to find one proselyte, is that what it is? And then you make him 10 times worse than when you first found him. You know, and that's that people in the house of God are saying, "Come to church, come to church." And you are the biggest sinner around. So when they came to church with you, you still stay in your sin. And they're saying, and the pastor might be preaching only. They'll say, "What is this? This is confusion." Well, don't pay any attention to what that person who brought you to church is doing. Because now God set you in a church and you're supposed to work out your own salvation. You can't say, "Well, God, you know, they invited me, but they were in sin." Well, you were supposed to work out your own salvation. You're supposed to work yourself out of sin and not lay the blame on somebody else. I don't like to hear people do that. I don't like to hear people say, "Well, my mother did this, or my father did this, or my sister did this, or my friend at school did that." You know, come on. Jesus can overcome all that junk. And as I listen to your stories, every one of you have had a really hard background. And if you read the word, his disciples all had hard backgrounds. God doesn't call the cleaned up ones, because they're all set in their ways. He pulls in people who don't know, and then he starts teaching them of his ways. But as he's teaching you of his ways, the devil's trying to pervert the word, and he's trying to pull you out of God's arms. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go ahead and keep moving forward with God, or are you going to allow the enemy to keep coming in and buffeting you and put you where you're in a place of stalemate where you can't move forward? I'm looking at each one of you because every one of you have a purpose in God's kingdom. I've talked to some of you. I know what some of you are doing, and you're doing a great mighty work for the Father, and the enemy's trying to stop you. And me too. We have to keep going forward, remnant church. A remnant church paves the way for others to follow. So you have to get in there, and you have to cut down all the brush and all the debris. You have to get the stones removed so the people have a smooth path to follow behind you. I'm sorry, but the world's not going to want to walk through the brush. They're not going to want to stumble over all them big stones. They need a little bit of rest when they first start. Then after they are encouraged in the Lord, after they understand the love of God, then God will let them cut the brush. But Remnant Church, we are the ones who are supposed to be going forward with truth, love, and compassion, paving the way. And what God is saying right now, how many of you really want to be a remnant church, paving the way for that very lost world that's out there? if that's one of you, you can come up here, and God's going to give you an anointing to be able to go forth and do that very same thing.